Amen. I'm glad this morning that the rolls arose. Amen. I'm glad when you go over there to the Holy Land and you visit that garden tomb, it's empty. There's nobody there because the rolls arose. And I'm thankful tonight that because the rolls arose, or this morning, or this afternoon, or, well, we're not afternoon yet, we're still morning. But I'm so thankful today that he arose, and he arose to give me justification. In other words, he arose so that I could know that I know that I know that I know that God accepted the sacrifice. Had he been just any other man, had he been just any other sacrifice, had he been just any other individual in this world, his bones would still be laying in that grave. Amen. But praise God, he arose. And I'm thankful this morning he looks at us, he knows us, and he sees all the trials and the troubles that we're going through. He knows the fires. I like that song. I know you're going through the fire, and we go through different fires and different trials in life, but I'm thankful that my God knows all about it. Amen. And he knows in the midst of my fire and in the midst of my trial and in the midst of my trouble exactly what I need. And not only does he know it, but he supplies what I need according to his wisdom, according to his knowledge of the future. You know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but praise God, I know the one that does. Amen. I don't know where I'm going to be a year from now, but praise God, I know the one that does. And I'm willing to trust all things unto him this morning. I ask you to be much in prayer for families, many families that lost loved ones. You know, last week we had lost my wife's aunt. We had her funeral on Monday, and Sister Sherry's cousin, Sister Sherry's cousin, died. They had his funeral on Wednesday, I think it was, wasn't it? And then Bill Carter, my wife's uncle, died Friday night or Friday evening, about 4:40 something Friday afternoon, let's say, and they're going to be having his funeral this week. Brother Calvin's cousin's wife died suddenly this week. Got her funeral is today. And then Brother Tony Potts called. He's on his way up. Keep him in prayer. His grandfather died. We'll be having his funeral in Elkton on Thursday. So just keep all these families who've lost loved ones in prayer, and just pray that God would just watch over and keep each and every one. I tell you what, death is in this world, amen. But I thank God that the rose arose, and he was the first fruits, amen. He was just there to show us that he had the power over death, hell, and the grave, and he rose victorious. I'm thankful this morning for salvation. And is Morgan here? She go downstairs. She's in the back. All right. Well, we're going to get her after service. But praise God, before Sunday school started this morning, while they were singing, she told me she wanted to get saved. I had Sister Sherry just take her and just go back in my office where they had some time together right at Sunday school, and the little one accepted Christ as her Savior. Thank God, what a way to start a month, amen. What a way to start out a Sunday morning. Praise God for that. Turn in your Bibles into John chapter number 11, the book of John. Chapter number 11, and we do welcome each and every one this morning. And if you're a visitor, we're thankful for you being here. Thank you for you choosing to come to Charlestown. It's a pleasure and a blessing to have you with us and this morning. And this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And in funerals, many times it's one of my favorite funeral scriptures to go to. You know, you got them go-to scriptures for things. Hey, when you're facing trials of life, you got go-to scriptures that you go to. When someone has lost a loved one and you're looking for a go-to scripture, this is a go-to scripture that you go to, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm thankful that them two verses, especially down there in verses 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever believeth on me shall never die. He said, believeth thou this. I believe it this morning with my whole heart, amen. And I have peace in knowing that I have peace with that, and I'm thankful for that. But I only want to preach on the first five verses this morning out of this chapter. And it's going to be hard not to want to preach the whole chapter, amen? But I want to preach a thought out of here God has given us. And we'd ask you this morning, if you found John chapter number 11, to stand to your feet this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Brother Woody, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Another family that I want you to remember in prayer, if you would. I've slipped my mind there as we was asking, but has been on the top of my mind is the family of Brother Amos Richardson. Brother Amos Richardson pastored Harmony Free Will Baptist Church in Middle River for many, many years. One of the finest men I've ever known, one of the sweetest spirits I've ever been around. If you ever had the privilege of knowing Brother Amos Richardson, you have been blessed in your life, let me assure you that. And he passed away this week. He was 88 years old, and just been battling sickness and pastored up until just a couple of weeks ago. He was still pastoring, faithfully standing and doing what God would have him to do, but the Lord called him home. Pray for his dear wife, Iona. She is one day older than he is, and she told someone the other day, she said, the Lord took my sweetheart home. She said, but I won't be far behind him. And I thought about that song the Duvals used to sing, going ahead, and you know, I forget what the title of it was, but I was reminded of that, and I thought about that, and I'm sure that these dear saints of God will be comforted as only the Lord can comfort. But just pray for that family, if you would. Death is something that we all face. Death is something that we all deal with, and sometimes we wonder about saints of God as they're going through problems. But I'm glad that he didn't come just to heal me in this flesh and leave me here. I'm glad he came to save my soul, amen, and to take me out of this old sinful world below. So we just ask you to, this morning, just to focus. Now, we had a great Sunday school hour, amen, a great Sunday school hour, and I hope it carries on over into the worship hour. Praise God, we never even got to our Sunday school lesson. Got a question posed to us this morning right off the bat, and we just bounced right off that and could have preached right off of that, but we just want to mind the Lord this morning. But I want to tell you something. God will give you all that you can stand this morning, amen. He'll let you see all of him that you can stand to see. He'll let you see all of him that you want to see, and all of him that you've prepared to see. And we trust this morning that you've come to meet with him, where two or three are gathered in his name. He said he would be in the midst, and I know there's a couple other fellows and some ladies besides myself this morning that have come to have a meeting with him, and I'm sure he's going to show up. And I'm sure he's going to bless hearts, and he'll do for you what you need done this morning if you'll open your heart and open your mind and receive him in your life and want to have fellowship with him. You see, my God is a gentleman. He said he won't force himself. He'll let you open your heart's door. He'll let you close your heart's door. He'll make you blessed if you'll let him in, and he'll just go on your way and leave you as you are if you don't want to open up. It's up to you this morning. But if you want to have a time like we had in Sunday school this morning, amen, I encourage you to open your heart and prepare to just see the glory of God as he works this morning. The Bible tells us in these five verses this morning something that is very important, something that I want you to grasp, something that I want you to focus on this morning. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how frustrated you are. I don't care how discouraged you are. I don't care how sick you are or how strong you are. I want you to focus on this thought this morning. Jesus loves you. Amen. We have a dear friend of ours. He's got to be one of my favorite preachers in the whole world. Brother Jeff Faggart. Amen. And whenever you visit with Brother Jeff Faggart, whenever he concludes a meeting or a conversation with you, he will tell you, remember, Jesus loves you. If you talk to him on the phone before you hang up, he will say, remember, Jesus loves you. I want you to know something this morning. Jesus loves you. Amen. He don't love you because you're lovable. He loves you because of who he is. Amen. He doesn't love you because you deserve to be loved, but he loves you because he wants you to be redeemed from this curse of sin. He loves you because he wants you to have fellowship with him. He loves you because he is love. Amen. And God is love. What more can you say? He loves you this morning, and I want you to know that. But sometimes in the midst of trying to realize that, we get discouraged. The Bible says, now there was a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Praise God. I want you to know something this morning. The reality of this life is that it's filled with problems. Amen. It's filled with sickness. It's filled with discouragements and disappointments. But look at what the Bible says about Lazarus. It says he was sick. In verse number 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. He was sick. Amen. And Jesus heard, and when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Praise God. I want you to know something this morning. The Bible says Lazarus was sick. He was sick. Amen. I believe he was in a desperate situation. He was in a desperate circumstance. His life was such that the Bible just goes on and mentioning that Lazarus was sick. And praise God, I want you to know something. Sickness and trials and troubles in this life does not mean that God has forsaken you. It does not mean that God has given up on you. You can rest assured in the problems that you're facing and in the trials that you're dealing with, in the fire that you're going through, Jesus loves you. Amen. You know, we get all wrapped up sometimes in this old temple that we live in. We get all wrapped up sometimes in this form of clay that's only made in the image and the likeness of God. We set too much store on this old body, and we miss the thought. We miss the fact of what we're going to be. I think Sister Sherry brought that out this morning in Sunday school class. You know, sometimes we just don't really realize what we're going to be when we're able to stand before a thrice holy God, amen, and see him and worship him and be in the presence of him in all of his glory. Amen. This old body can't handle it. This old body can't stand it. But as long as we're in this world, as long as we're in this lowland of sin and sorrow, we're going to face difficulties in our lives. The Bible records Jesus' visits to Bethany. The Bible records how Jesus, when he came to Bethany many times, spent his time with Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. I'm thankful that Jesus found a place there where he was welcome. And you know what? If you'll make him welcome in your life, amen, he'll pass by your way. He'll spend some time with you. He'll fellowship with you. He'll sup with you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open unto me, he said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. He wants to be a blessing to you. He wants you to know this morning, regardless of what you're going through, he loves you. He loves you. Lazarus was sick. Friends, we live in a world that's sick. Hey, man, I'm not talking about cancer and lupus, and I'm not talking about a liver disease and this disease and that disease. I'm talking about sin, friends. This world is sick and ripe with sin. It's abounding on every hand. And there's not a family, there's not a life here in this assembly this morning that's not affected by it. Amen? As long as you're in this world, you're going to be affected by it. Amen? In some form. Sometimes it's through a family member. Sometimes it's through a friend. Sometimes you just get robbed and beat up. Amen? And you didn't do anything. You was just there. Sin is abounding. But guess what? The Lord knows all about it. Amen? Amen. Yep. Trials and tribulation are on every hand, but guess what? The Lord knows all about it.
That's right.
Amen. He said it rains on the just and the unjust. God's people, as well as those in the world, are going to have to deal with sin. And we said in Sunday school this morning, the Bible teaches us that when Lot went down into Sodom and Gomorrah, that place that he was in vexed his soul every day. That word vexed means it troubled his soul. It gave him problems. Is there anyone here this morning that can raise your hand and say, well, preacher, I go through this life and I have no problems at all? I didn't think so. We are all in this thing together. We are all dealing with the trials and the reality of life together. But friend, it's good to know that in the midst of all this sin, in the midst of all this discouragement, in the midst of all your disappointments, in the midst of sickness and everything else, that Jesus still loves you. God told the children of Israel, said, look, I didn't choose you out from among all the peoples of the earth because you look better, because you were better, because you deserve better. He said, I picked you out simply because I loved you. I'm glad that he loved me, and he loved me where I was. One of my favorite songs in the whole world, Brother Jim sings. He sings a couple of my favorites. Amen. But he came to me. He came to me. I couldn't get to where he was because of my sin. I couldn't get to where he was because of this life that I live, and because of the life that I was living, I couldn't get to where he was. But praise God, he loved me, Brother Woody. He loved me with that everlasting love. He loved me regardless of who I was, and he came to me. And he saved my wretched soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Praise God, he loved me. And he came to me. Since I've been walking with him, many times I have failed him. Many times I have let him down tremendously. Many times I have sinned in his sight. And many times a sickness, a sin has overtook my body and has overcome me. But he didn't quit loving me. He began to deal with me. He began to stir me. He began to draw me. And he brought me to the place where I found that the balm of Gilead was still able to bring healing to my soul. Praise God. Jesus loves me. Over in Romans chapter number 8. That's a great chapter. By the way, if you've never read Romans chapter number 8, go read it. Sometimes we focus on that one verse there in Romans chapter 8. But you need to read the whole thing. We focus on that verse. We know that all things work to good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But you ought to go read the whole thing. Praise God, it begins with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus loves me. Listen to what he says in the end of Romans chapter number verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Praise God, Jesus loves me. Amen. I praise God, he loves you. I shout tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Jesus loves you. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to know something this morning. We need to get a realization of just how much Jesus loves us. Amen. He don't let things keep us from him. The only thing that keeps us from him is us. Amen. The only thing that can keep me from enjoying all that he has for me is me. The only thing that keeps me from experiencing all the glory that he wants to glory in me is me. Told Sunday school class this morning, the only thing that keeps people from shouting is you. Amen. The only thing that keeps people from praising God and glorying in God is you. Amen. Because you want to bull up and you want to say, well, that's for somebody else. We talked about this morning. The people heard God speak. They didn't want it. First, they wanted to see a God. So they made him a calf. They made him a golden calf, amen, so they could see God. Israel, this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt. They wanted to see their God, and they wanted to be able to experience their God. But when God showed them that was just an idol, God showed them that was just a temporal thing made of man, and God began to speak, and God began to thunder on Mount Sinai. They said, we don't want to see him. Send Moses. Amen. You know, the only thing that's going to keep you from experiencing the glory of God and worshiping in the house of God is you. Amen. Amen. You're the only hindrance to God doing everything that he wants to do. You say, well, I left the service this morning and God just didn't bless my soul. God was there. God wanted to. Amen. Did you want him to? Amen. I want you to know something this morning. Jesus loves you. Amen. The reality of sin is one that we can't deny, and one that we need to preach about, and not one that we need to teach about, one the world needs to hear about. But praise God, we need to let them know that in the midst of all that, the reality is Jesus loves you. Amen. Amen. After all, he came to die for sinners. Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. Amen. Oh, Lazarus was sick. Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Lazarus was sick. The Lord responded, this sickness is not unto death. Lazarus was sick. I remember old Job was sick. His wife said, Job, you're sick and you can't get well. Curse God and die. He said, woman, you're a foolish one. Sickness doesn't mean that I'm not loved. Sickness doesn't mean that God doesn't care. Amen. That's what he said. He said, shall we receive good only at the hand of the Lord and not receive the evil also? You know, good things happen to bad people. And bad things happen to good people. But that doesn't change the love of God for us. The prophet Isaiah went and seen King Hezekiah. Said, set your house in order. You're sick and you're going to die. You're sick and you're going to die. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and before Isaiah even got out of the court of the palace, God said, go back and tell Hezekiah that he's going to live, that I've extended his life for 14 more years. Let him know that he can know, that he can know that he's loved and that he's heard. And we look at our Christian brothers and sisters and see them going through difficulties. We see them going through trials, and it depends on who they are. We'll say, oh, that dear saint just going through a problem. Or we look at them and say, oh, look at that. God's punishing them. They're getting what they deserve. Who art thou that judges, old man? Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're going through. Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And if you have sinned, he will forgive you. And if you're sick and the doctor says you're going to die, guess what? You might just die. But he still loves you. And he's made a way for you. Amen. Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death. Well, what happened? He died. Does that make Jesus a liar? No. Jesus is talking about the spiritual man. Amen. Jesus is talking about the eternal man. Amen. Now, I've told you before, I got to read this one time, and the thought just struck me. Lazarus has to be one of the maddest, the angriest men in the Bible. Now, stop and think about this. Here is a godly man that died. Where did he go? Went to paradise. Amen. And just so Jesus could prove a point, the Bible says, in the story of another Lazarus, but the rich man of Lazarus said, Lazarus was carried in Abraham's bosom. Amen. And the rich man died and went to hell. And there's a great gulf, and I believe if the rich man could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, Lazarus could see the rich man suffering in hell.
Amen.
And knew that it was worth following Jesus. And just so you and I could have an object lesson, in 2015, God brought him back from paradise. A man that was dead, a man that had done went to a glory world, had to come back. Now tell me that wouldn't make you mad. Amen. But Jesus loved him. And Jesus loves you this morning. And he's concerned about your eternal state. The reality was sin was there. The revelation was that there wasn't a thing that anybody could do about it.
That's right.
But Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. What's it, verse number 5? There, I believe, isn't it? Verse number 4. They said, he whom thou lovest is sick. Why did they send for Jesus? Why didn't they send for the doctor? Because nobody could do what Jesus could do. Amen. Why didn't they send for the faith healer? Because nobody could do what Jesus could do. Amen. Why didn't they send for somebody that had some kind of authority? Maybe could rattle some bones and throw something out there and say you're healed and pop them in the head or do something. And that wouldn't do no good. They knew that the only one that could meet his needs was Jesus. And they knew that Jesus loved him. And they knew that Jesus would come. Sometimes, though, he don't come in our time. Amen. They didn't send and tell him for nothing.
That's right.
Amen. They wanted Jesus to show up. They wanted Jesus to touch that life, to touch that one who was suffering, that one whom they knew that Jesus loved. Friends, we want healing in our time. We want help in our way. We want answers to prayer. When we want answers to prayer and how we want answers to prayer. Their desire was that Jesus would just come on from wherever he was. As soon as he got the word, he would come and he would lay his hand upon Lazarus or speak a word and there would be a healing. But that didn't happen. Jesus tarried 2 days longer after he got the word. And when he got there, Lazarus had done been dead 4 days. And when he saw what was happening, when he saw their sorrow of heart, the Bible said his spirit groaned within him. The people seen Jesus as he grieved and as he mourned because his friends were suffering. His sons were grieving the loss of a loved one, and everybody says, oh look, my, how he loved him. Even in death they realized that Jesus loved him. Jesus loved you. Friend, the reality of it is sin is in the world and sin is destroying this world. But Jesus loves you. And the only revelation I can give you today is to call on Jesus. Because Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Another one of my favorite songs, Brother Steve sings. We sing it. It don't even have a name. It's called the Untitled Hymn. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Lift your head, for love is passing by. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Listen to this. Call on Jesus and live.
Amen.
Amen. Love is passing by. Love had been to their house. Love had sat at their table. Love had poured himself out to them and had blessed them in so many ways. And now what they needed was not what this old sinful world had to offer. They needed the love of Jesus. And friend, I want you to know something. It's still the same today. What you need today is Jesus. Because he loves you. I know some of you are going through some horrific trials. Some of you are facing some horrific, just aggravating situations. But Jesus loves you. And he knows exactly what you need and when you need it. Jesus loves you this morning, irregardless of what the reality of your situation is. Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants to move on your behalf.
Amen.
Do you realize he can move all of heaven on your account and on your behalf? Jesus loves you. He can take the darkest situation and shine the brightest light into it. He can take the deepest pit that you have fallen into and turn it into a treasure trove of some kind. He can take whatever you're dealing with and he can meet the needs that you have. That's why Paul learned to trust on Jesus, because he realized that Jesus loved him and Jesus would not forsake him. He told the Philippian church over in chapter number 4 and verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, did you get that? What's your situation? It falls in there somewhere, don't it? And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, those who trusted in Jesus, those who called on Him, found out that He does answer prayer. Mary and Martha called and sent for Jesus. Lazarus had died, but they found out that He still answers prayer. Hey, man, I'll tell you what, I've been in some bad situations, and I've always found out that God does answer prayer. The two blind men in Matthew chapter 15 said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." God answered prayer. The woman of Canaan came to Jesus. "Thou son of David, have mercy." God answered prayer. We see the epileptic's father when Jesus and His disciples came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He cried, "Have mercy," and Jesus answered prayer. We see the 10 lepers that followed after Him, and they cried, "Lord, have mercy on us," and Jesus answered prayer. I see old blind Bartimaeus by the wayside on the way to Jericho, and he cried, "Jesus, Thou son of David, have mercy on me." They told him to shut up. They told him it was no reason to call. Jesus don't want to deal with somebody like you. He cried out even the more, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus answered prayer. Peter was walking on the water. He looked around him and he seen the winds and the waves, and he began to sink, and he cried, "Lord, save me." And Jesus answered prayer. You know why? Because Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Don't miss that this morning. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing or what you're dealing with, don't miss light of that fact. Jesus loves you. And He'll do whatever He needs to do if you ask Him. Amen. And you pray according to His will. He'll save your soul. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why? Because He loves you. Amen. He gave His life a ransom for you. He died for you so that you wouldn't have to spend an eternity in hell, so that you could be with Him in paradise. Verse number 5 just reminds us. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Folks, I want you to leave today. I want you to leave today with some joy in your heart, with peace in your mind, with the assurance that Jesus loves you. Amen. And regardless of where you're at or what you're going through, Jesus loves you. Jesus said, "No greater love have any man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends." And He says, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you." He don't love you like the world loves you. He don't look at you and see you like the world sees you. You know, I've seen people look at other people's kids and complain about other people's kids. And I'm thinking, why in the world are you complaining about those angels when that bunch of heathens that you got are raging and raising hell the way that they are? When When God looks at us, He looks at us as His creation. He loves us. He loves us so much He was willing to send His Son to die for us. His Son loved us so much that He was willing to die for us. Didn't have to, but He did. Because He loves you. He loves you with an unconditional love. Not because we deserve to be loved. Over in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Herein is the love of God." Not because, and I'm just paraphrasing, not because we loved Him, but because He loved us. Amen. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you for who you are, what you're going through. He loves you not like people love you. People are so fickle today, they love you tomorrow, they want a divorce. Today they love you, tomorrow they hate your guts. That's the truth. Today you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And tomorrow you're moldy and unfit. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 31, God said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." There's nothing like being loved the way that Jesus loves you. There's nothing in this world. I don't think there's an adequate word in this world to describe the way that Jesus loves you. He loves you. He gave Himself for you. He loves you. He willingly laid down His life for you. Back over in the previous chapter, chapter 10, verse 17, he says, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He loves you with an unconditional love. He loves you with a never-ending love. He loves you with that sacrificial love. Friend, every sin that's ever been committed, He loved you enough to pay for on Calvary's tree. Every trial that you got to go through, He loved you enough to come into this world and to deal with them Himself, so that He could empathize. And you know that He understood what you're going through. He loves you. And when you think there's no hope, when you think it's all done, where you at, Brother Harvey? It's Friday. Stick your head around here. I got to see you smile. When you look and you see Jesus is in the tomb, it's Friday. But praise God, Sundays are coming.
Amen.
Amen. We see that death claimed Him. But He claimed death in victory.
Amen.
On Friday, it looked bleak. But on Sunday, the tomb was empty. On Friday, it seemed that all hope was gone. But on Sunday, they talked with Him in the garden. On Friday, it seemed that the end had come. But praise God, on Sunday, He appeared to them, unto them in the upper room, and He blessed them. Praise God. I want you to know something. It might seem like He don't care. It might seem like he's delayed. It might seem like things aren't working out your way. But praise God, don't worry about it. Sunday's coming. One day I'm going to lay this old body down in the ground. But then I'm going to wait and I'm going to listen. And one day I'm going to hear the sound of a trumpet. I'm going to hear the voice of the archangel saying, come up hither. And praise God, I'm going to burst forth out of the ground. I want you to know something this morning. Jesus loves you and he wants to give you hope and help. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song. Jesus loves you.